What we're going to do today is to remember what God has done this last year. I don't know about you, but I'm at an age right now where I'm forgetting a lot. Anybody with me here? Many of you have been very patient with me because I have met you again and again for the first time. And I am so sorry about that. I remember faces and forget the names, but thank God for just the body of Christ. One day we'll remember everything, won't we? But it's very easy to move on in our Christianity and forget the answered prayers and the presence of God and His wondrous works. So we're going to look back on 2008 this morning and do just that. But as we do, would you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Go into the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles 16. While you're turning there, what we're going to do in the service is we're going to read some out of God's Word, the encouragement of the Scriptures, especially King David and what he was focusing on at this time in his life. Then we're going to look at some pictures of this last year, ways that God has worked in our fellowship and thanking God for His miraculous hand. Then we are going to have communion, the greatest remembrance of all, remembering what Jesus Christ has done for us. And then we're going to close with some continual worship before God today. So that's kind of where we're going here this morning, Lord willing. But here in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, we have this time in the life of King David. He had just become king. He was a new king. And he had learned already in his short life the need for the presence of Almighty God. How many of us have learned that? We need God. We need His guidance. We need His strength. We need His comfort at times of loss. We need His encouragement. We need to hear His voice. And David knew his need for God. David had already seen miraculous workings of God. He had already killed Goliath by the power of the name of the Lord of hosts. He had already conquered Philistines. He had lived in caves when Saul was chasing after him. And he knew that God was faithful to do what He called David to do, and he was. So as David now has become king over Israel, and he's bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, he is giving thanks to the Lord. He is leading. Praise God for godly leadership. He's leading the people in praise, but one of the things he does to encourage the people to put their trust in God is he recounts the past, the faithfulness of God. Because as we look back at the faithfulness of God in the past, it prepares us to trust Him for the future, right? It is good for us, and God tells us continually, remember what I have done. So here in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8, David says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name and make known His deeds among the peoples!" Exclamation point. That's as true today as when David wrote these words inspired by God. "Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, and tell of all His wondrous works!" Exclamation point. "Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice!" Exclamation point. "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually!" Exclamation point. Those are great verses to just meditate on next week. Just think about the Lord. Think about what He has done, His strength, His presence, and rejoice in Him. And then in verse 12, David says, "Remember the wondrous works that He has done." Remember the wondrous works that He has done. God has done tremendous things in our lives this last year. I wish we had time for each of you to come up and tell a little bit of what God has done in your life this year. Some have had a very difficult year. 2008's been a tough year. A lot of losses, could have been loss of job, could have been a lot of different changes in lives. Some have had a great year in 2008. But through it all, God has reigned, right? And He is Lord. 2008, we had an election in 2008. Big year. How many are thankful that all the political commercials are off the TV? That's something to praise God for right there, you know. But we have an election. We got to pray for a president-elect and his cabinet. We had the Olympics in Beijing, China. That was a huge thing. We have entered into an economic recession. You know that recession comes from the root word recess? Anyway, not... That's in the dictionary. When I saw that, I thought, wow, it's a different kind of recess that we're having here. But we're in an economic recession. And we've seen a lot happen this last year. Major banks have failed, right? Unprecedented banks that we thought would never fail have failed. Probably the key word for 2008 is bailout. You know what I was thinking of when I thought of all the bailouts? How many of us want a bailout? Hey, what about me? I know a lot of us feel like I could use a bailout. We have got the ultimate bailout in Jesus Christ our Lord. In fact, more than a bailout, he didn't post bail for us. He didn't give us some money. He took our place. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It is as if we all were on death row, condemned by our sin. We did the crime, we are doing the time, and we are on death row. And God, in all of his mercy, came to us and took the wrath and the punishment that we deserved in him, Jesus Christ, so that we might be forgiven. That is the ultimate freedom that we have. No bailout is going to come near that. Home foreclosures, job changes, been a difficult time for some. Who'd ever thought the gas would be $4 a gallon? Aren't we glad it's down now? We never thought gas would go that high. Of course, we never thought that we'd be paying $4 for a cup of coffee either 30 years ago. But we do. We do. And I told Wade and Ed, I love roastery coffee, you know, so nothing wrong with that. But we never thought we'd be doing that. Times change a lot. But praise God, there's always good news, even with the bad news. And there's always memories of the wonderful things that he has done. And we're going to remember all that he's done this last year. What we're going to do is show some pictures of this last year. Now, for those of you who are visiting, I hope this can encourage you because God's working in every one of his church fellowships. And we praise God for that. But we have had several people come to Christ this year. And one of the things that I have been so thankful for is that the people who have come to Christ, we are seeing some tremendous conversions, solid conversions, with lives being changed. It is awesome to see the greatest miracle of all, for God to change a life. You're going to be seeing many people being baptized, and we're going to look at some mission trips that we've gone on and seen the faithfulness of God in that, some local ministries, and just the way that he has grown this particular church family. Many people this last year are brand new families to this church fellowship and being integrated into the relationships that we have here. We're going to be talking about some of that. The first video clip here and pictures is about our new believers and the baptisms that we've had in all of our church. We have an English-speaking church here. We have three services on the weekends. And then also we have a Spanish ministry here with Samuel Reese and Delia. They're in the back there. And we've had several come to Christ in our Spanish ministry too. So we're going to be looking at that. Now, Gene found something that was kind of neat. So you're going to see a preliminary group of pictures here from probably the beginning of the 20th century. These are people that had been baptized, and you'll see them baptized under bridges, in ponds, in rivers. There's one scene there of a riverboat, and you'll notice there's so many people standing on the side of the riverboat watching the baptisms that it's tilted like this in the water. But I like this because it shows us that we are part of a history of people who continue to come to Christ through the ages. And as glorious as baptisms are now, so they've been throughout all the ages. How many know church history is important? To know those who have gone before us. So there's going to be a little clip here, and then we'll look at some of the baptisms that took place here in our church. So let's look at this now. For isn't God good? Thank God for that. Let's thank him. Pray for our brothers and sisters, as it says in Colossians, as therefore you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so live in him now, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding with thanksgiving. Colossians 2, 6 through 7. We pray for that. Also this last year, we were blessed by the Lord to be able to go down to Mexico. Most of you here know that we've been going down to a particular area in Mexico for over 18 years, almost 19 years now. The body of Christ is expanding greatly down there. We support about 7 Hispanic churches in that area. They're very poor people. They were farmers and they're cotton pickers. And we're able to go down there. And what we do is we put roofs on their buildings. Most all the buildings are very small in this particular area. It is 500 miles south of the border and about an hour outside of a city by the name of Torreon. halfway to Mexico City. And it's out there in the desert, as they say down there, all beach and no water. That's what they have. But they can dig the adobe out of the ground and they build the walls. And in order to have a larger room, they need pitched roofs. And when we went down there in 1990, our first time, no one in that area had ever seen a pitched roof, because all of their roofs are flat with willow branches and lots of adobe. They're very heavy roofs, so we're able to put these roofs on. So we've sent two teams down there. Many of you have gone down on these crews. We have to build the trusses on site. There's no Hugh M. Woods or anybody there to deliver pre-made trusses. And so we build them there and put them up, and everybody works together, and it is tremendous. And we can put windows, and we put concrete. We send money down. We have workers going down. And it's just there to support the indigenous work in that area of Mexico. And we thank God for what he's doing down there. It's a great honor for us to be a part of that. Now we can take our brother Samuel, who's with us on our staff here, because you need an interpreter down there. And so Samuel's been going down with us, too. It's been great. And we also, this last year, went to Burundi, Africa, and we were able to see the missionary we support down there in Burundi. Burundi is right in the center of Africa, next to the Congo. It was the last place that David Livingstone, the missionary, anybody ever heard of David Livingstone? He stopped in Burundi. There's actually a rock there that he wrote his name in this little country. But we went down there and saw Stephen, and we hope by God's grace that we're going to get more involved in the work down in the African area. We just thank God for the opportunities to go out and touch the world, not only locally, but beyond. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be my witnesses. Where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and where else? The uttermost parts of the earth. A pastor in Burundi told me, and it was really touching, he said, he was the oldest person I met there. He's 51 years old. Because the average age in Burundi is 16 years old. Because of the tribal warfare and massacres, all the adults are dead. And they've had 12 years of tribal warfare there. So he said, Pastor Doug, he said, Jesus is coming soon. I said, I know. How do you know that, brother? He says, because the Bible says the gospel has to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. And he says, I think that's where we are. And the gospel is coming here now. So thank God for that. So we're able to go down there. And, you know, every church has to keep our vision out, right? If we are not out serving, we come here to be encouraged and worship God and to be trained and equipped to go out and do the work of discipleship and evangelism. Amen? That's what God wants. Anything ingrown, if a church doesn't have its vision out, we become ingrown. And anything ingrown hurts after a while. I don't care if it's an ingrown toenail or ingrown hair or an ingrown church. You're going to have problems with that. God wants us to be. Those aren't the greatest illustrations, but anyway, I couldn't think of any other ones to come up with. But we got to keep our vision out there. Another thing that we were blessed with this last year is we started a ministry that we actually had started years ago, and then it died out. And we were given actually a gift to start this ministry, financial gift, to widows and to single moms. We have a real heart for our sisters in the Lord that are overwhelmed sometime with just living, just the practical things of life. A lot of them have needs in their homes, needs for fix-its and repairs. Sometimes when their contractors come in, all contractors aren't honest. Some of our sisters are taken advantage of, but not any longer in this fellowship. Because we have a whole team of people now that go out and help widows in a ministry we call Helping Hands. This last year, we went out 19 times. We were able to help just between June and September. We started it in June. When the weather got bad, then we couldn't go, but we're continuing to supply firewood and things like that to many of their homes. But we were able to go into homes. We did the beetle kill tree removal. We fixed siding. We chinked logs. We did electrical work. We have electricians, plumbers, carpenters on these teams that go out. And many of you have volunteered to be on those teams. We've done yard cleanup, just whatever it is, just to lighten the load for them. And the Bible does tell us in James, says, this is religion that is pure and undefiled before God, that you visit the widows and the orphans in their affliction. And that's what we want to be. So, and not only do we help people in our church, but we've helped single moms and widows in the community and needy people also. We were able to help one widow who lost her young husband to a logging accident, and help her with all of her funeral costs and that because of the financial gift that was given to us for this ministry. So we thank God for the opportunity to do that and keep praying for that ministry. Also this last year, we had an interchurch evangelistic outreach in our community called Sermon on the Mount. How many of you here went to Sermon on the Mount? Yeah, a lot of us. Sermon on the Mount. Lou Sterrett is actually a veterinary doctor, and he presents in Sermon on the Mount the most powerful presentation of the gospel I think I have ever seen. As he takes a wild Mustang that's never been ridden and never been in a pen before, and as he shares the gospel and walks around that pen with that wild horse that's bucking and snorting and biting and everything else, he ends up riding this horse without it bucking as he wins the horse's confidence and trust. And he parallels that with God and how God is someone that is strange to us at first, but as God wins us over, he breaks us and makes us obedient to him. And that was just tremendous. We had 600 people at that outreach. And this coming summer, we hope to get him here for one of the biggest events in Grand County is the county fair that happens. And we're going to see if we can get him in here to preach the gospel there too. But it's just a great opportunity. And we did it as an inner church. God has some great church fellowships up here. And we're in great unity with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that was a great thing that God let us do. Also, like I said, we've had many new families in the church, and there are a lot of ways that we need to connect to the body of Christ. In our church, God has blessed us with many small groups. We are not a Sunday-only fellowship. We have strong friendships growing here, and if you're new here, we want you to be incorporated into the church life. And one of the ways we do that is by all the life groups and small groups that meet throughout the week, and also a lot of the events. We've got just many things that God has enabled us to do just to build relationships. The kingdom of God is built on relationship. How do we know that? Because Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but friends. And God is a God of relationships. So he wants the friendships in the church to be strong. So we have different ways for people to get involved. Probably about 100 people in the church every summer in our church gets involved with the Vacation Bible School. It's a great outreach to kids every summer. God worked some great miracles this year with our VBS. Had about 90 kids a day come into that. Also, God has just blessed us too with different things that we do. We have a 4th of July picnic where people can meet each other. We celebrate the 4th. We call it Dependence Day rather than Independence Day because we realize our dependence is on Almighty God, even for our country. But that's a great time to get to meet people and just have some fun together just for the sake of the church. Then also, we also have a camping trip that we go on for 3 days every year. Anybody's welcome to come to that. And that is a great time also. You see people praying for each other. And if you see each other get up in the morning, the way we look, that we need a lot of prayer. But people look differently on camping trips than they do on Sundays. These trips are great because there's a lot of Bible studies, prayer, there's worship. And we end these 3 days up at Winding River Ranch with a worship celebration that Saturday night. And God has just been very good to us in that way. We love the body of Christ. And we commit ourselves to fellowship in various ways. Also, our youth. If you're new here to our church, we are very committed to our children and to the next generation. We believe that our children are facing some tremendous challenges. How many know that in our country right now? And there's a lot of worldly thinking, a lot of different worldviews and worldly philosophies that are taking many of them captive. We are committed not to let that happen. We've said many times, we are not going to lose our kids when they go to college. And personally, I pity the professors, the secular professors that have our kids in their classes, because we are training them in worldview. We're training them in apologetics and how to stand for their faith. We do that in our youth group. We don't have the type of youth group where you have a lot of dry ice, smoke, and a lot of hype. We disciple. And that's a big part of what we do. And we have a Christian school that we started for that purpose too, so we can train up the next generation to be godly men and women and to stand for their faith and not be taken away. So praise God for that. Also, speaking of the next generation, we've had many babies born in 2008. Future leaders in our church. Now, how many of you my age, around my age or more, know that these little children grow up very fast? I am going to be officiating a wedding in January And it's a young girl and her fiance from Denver. And I've known their family for many years. And she came up for premarital counseling. And she said, Pastor Doug, do you remember that you dedicated me as an infant? She's 23 years old. I said, I didn't remember that. That was fast. They grow up fast. So here they are. We've had many, and we have many coming too. Right, Deb? Any day now. Thank the Lord for that. And also our Spanish ministry, we're so grateful. And God has blessed us to have an outreach to the Hispanic community up here. We have many in our area here that come from Mexico. And also Spanish-speaking people from around the world. We have people in Grand County, the ski area, but mainly at the YMCA, from Dominican Republic, from Colombia, Brazil, Argentina, Spain, Spanish-speaking nations. And so we thank God for the outreach, and Samuel and Delia do a tremendous job with that too. So that is going on. We thank God for all that He is doing through these things. He is so faithful, and He continues to work in lives. Also in September, many of you remember, we did a celebration of 25 years at this church. God has ordained this church to be in existence, and God has been faithful for 25 years, which gives us hope for the next 25 years if we're still around, right? Yeah, I may even be thinking about retirement in 30 years. I don't think so, though, but God is great. It's exciting to be a part of what His church is and what He's doing through us. Amen. And I hope that just some of those memories coming back would cause you to thank God too. Just stop and think for a moment here. What kind of crisis did you have to go through in 2008? What unexpected thing came up that you were not counting on? And maybe you had thought at that time, I don't know what I'm going to do. Think back just a little bit. And then, did God take you through that? And was He faithful? He was faithful. And He's continuing to be faithful. We've had great things and we've had terrible things happen in 2008. But through it all, God is faithful and we can give Him praise. We have also had a lot of answers to prayer physically in our church. We've had people going through cancer, gone through extensive chemotherapy. I did myself 5 years ago and God is healing me. And we've had many in our congregation that have battled with cancer, but God is taking them through and healing them. The doctors can only do so much. They can give the chemo, they can do surgeries, but they can't heal. Only God can heal, right? He is our healer. We've had knee replacements, we've had hip replacements, we've had shoulder replacements, and lots of things people have gone through here in our church. And God has taken them through. But we've also seen some miracles. I'd like to have Craig Cranston. Where are you, Craig? Come on up here. Craig had a miracle happen in his life this last year, and I really appreciate my brother. Craig has had a rough year, 2008. You've been out of work for over a year. It's been hard to find work up here. You do plowing, some plowing, and he's had a tremendous back problem also. But God has taken us through, and I tell you, he's always an encouragement to me, because even going through the lowest times, not even knowing where the money was going to come through, he was trusting in God's faithfulness, and God has shown himself faithful. Why don't you share with us here, Craig, okay?
He's shown himself very faithful, Pastor. When Pastor Doug asked me to recount what has happened to me, I have to say it was actually very difficult to pinpoint when this back problem began. I believe that sometime in mid-August, my lower back felt like it was just locked up. And I had this extreme knife, the shooting pain into my hip. I had a excruciating pain down my left leg, the thigh, the knee, numbness in my calf, toes. It was horrible, and I had never experienced any pain like this before. This went on for about 3.5 months, and I tried everything. I tried therapeutic massage. I went to the chiropractor. I went to hot sulfur to soak. I liked doing that, but at this point, it wasn't that great. I still couldn't get any relief. I had jetted tub baths. I did hot pads and cold packs. I did the teeter board. I don't know if you know about the teeter board, but you tilt upside down and you try to release that pressure. Didn't work. Every possible position I could think of. I was raising myself in my kitchen on the kitchen counter to try to break loose that pressure, and still it didn't work. No sleep. I was sleeping with my back flat on the floor, my legs up and extended, and then onto an ottoman or chair. Still nothing. No relief, no sleep, and I could not get any relief. I'd gone to Granby to the doctor, and he had taken x-rays. He stated there was a disc deterioration at the fifth lumbar, first sciatic vertebrae, otherwise known as the L5-S1. He said, this is very typical for a man of your age and others. I said, I don't know which hurt most, his statement or the pain. So basically, he prescribed pain pills, muscle relaxants, physical therapy for 4 weeks. And then he said, if that doesn't help, I'm going to send you to an orthopedic surgical group in Golden. Well, after physical therapy for 4 weeks, which included more massage, painfully trying to do some exercises, which I couldn't do, and this electrical stimulation device, I don't know if you know about that. Day and night I was using that thing. Still I could get no relief. So I decided, okay, I'll go see this orthopedic group. Well, at that point, my wife said, well, wait a minute, we forgot something here. This is the time she sent out the message. She put the note in the basket here at church to have Pastor Doug, the church pray, her ladies' Bible study group pray, and also our family, our friends, and our neighbors. And I have to state, Pastor Doug takes his calling very seriously, and aren't we glad he does. In James 5:14, it states, if any are sick, let them call for the elders of the church and pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Well, Doug didn't wait for me to call. He called me. He said, hey, I hear you're having some back problems. Let's have coffee, like that. And we went to a little coffee shop and stood at, I literally could not sit at that time. I was standing at this little bistro table. He was seated, and he prayed for me. Then I went on. The orthopedic group said I should have this MRI. So I went ahead and scheduled that. I was still having extreme pain, but the weekend before, I started to notice this extreme burning sensation all the way down my leg. And so I thought, well, that's interesting, but I'm still going to go and see what the doctors have to say. I woke up after 3 days of that burning, and I was absolutely pain-free. Praise God. I decided then to go ahead and have that MRI. When I went into the doctor, he said, this is amazing. Take a look at this. And, he put the scans up on the board there. And he said, you had a herniated disc, which is actually fragmented now. And he said, it's blown off into your body's cyberspace. The calcium deposit is going to just naturally be absorbed. And he said, if we were to do another MRI, like next year, that particle would be totally gone. Praise the Lord again. I said, so this is just an absolute miracle for me. The pain went away after the burning sensation, and I know it could only be God's touch on my body. John 9:24, the scripture gives an account of Jesus healing a blind man. And the Jewish officials were actually questioning the blind man about his sight and about who healed him. And the blind man said, one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. Well, Craig Cranston states, one thing I know, I was in severe pain, and now I'm free. James 5:16 states, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. I really believe, and God has brought this to my mind, that in these times, we need to be face down in prayer, continually asking him for what we need, never ceasing to approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in these times. Let's keep asking, let's keep seeking, let's keep knocking. Let's pray for God to hit that refresher button on our minds, our bodies, and our spirits for this new year, as we stay in his word and trust him for all of our needs.
Yes.
Thanks.
Amen. Praise God. You know, God works a lot of miracles and answers prayer, and then we forget and we kind of keep moving on. It's good to recount the wondrous deeds of the Lord. Remember what he's done. It gives us confidence to pray and to trust him in the future. Thank God for that. Isn't God great? Look again into 1 Chronicles before we go into communion here. 1 Chronicles 16. And just look at what David was telling the children of Israel here in encouraging them to trust God, first thing that he did was he called them to remember. In verse 12, he says, "Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and judgments he uttered. O offspring of Israel, his servant, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth." Do we know that as a fact? God is working even today. "Remember his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed as a statute to Jacob, as an everlasting covenant to Israel." What he was saying was that God promised that he would make a nation through Abraham. And did God do that? God did that. Even with Abraham's wavering at times and having Ishmael by Hagar, God continued to have his plan fulfilled. And David was recounting this. Verse 18, saying, "To you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance." He was saying there, not only has God made us a nation, but he promised to give us the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. And even though the children of Israel could not have faith in God when they came the first time to Kadesh Barnea, and they all died in the wilderness, did God still fulfill his promise? Yes, that's where they were, right here in Jerusalem. They were standing and owning the ground that God had promised that they would have. God is faithful to his promises. And David was recounting these things. Then he goes on in verse 19. "And when you were few in number," he's reminding the people, "and of little account, and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation." Remember, they were going through Moab, they were going through Edom, they were going all around, wandering from nation to nation. "From one kingdom to another, he allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account." So God was watching over and protecting them, even though some were oblivious to that. Even though some didn't want God, God was faithful to them. The Bible says in Timothy, even if we're faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. Can we trust God? That's what David was saying. And God was saying, verse 22, "Touch not my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm." So God was saying he would be there from everlasting to everlasting. There have been many people before our time who have denied Christianity and said Christianity would never last. Mark read to you this morning a devotional from C.H. Spurgeon when in England they were struggling with the same things. At that time, we're struggling with America, in America right now. There's nothing new under the sun, right? History repeats itself over and over again. And there have been many, like in America today, there are groups of people who want to see Christianity eradicated from every facet of American life. The schools, the public squares, everything. If they could, they would sandblast off all the scriptures in Washington, D.C. How many know there are scriptures sandblasted in the marble of Washington, D.C., because our country was founded on Christian principles and truths? But God's word still carries on. I love the story of a 1700s of a French skeptic and powerful writer, very influential person by the name of Voltaire. Anybody ever hear of Voltaire? Voltaire adamantly was against Christianity. And he predicted, Voltaire predicted that in 100 years, Christianity would be no more. There'd be no more Bibles and it would just disintegrate into non-existence. That's what he predicted. But he died in like 1771 or something like that. 50 years after his death, the Geneva Bible Society bought his house and moved into his house and used his printing press to print thousands of Bibles that went worldwide around the earth. Isn't that ironic? Voltaire passed on. Christianity did not pass on because Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away." Never. Our lives are set on solid ground in the Word of God. David was recounting this everlasting covenant of God. Then in verse 23, he calls the people, "Sing to the Lord all the earth!" Exclamation point. "Tell of his salvation from day to day." God wants us to tell of his salvation. The Psalm says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." We got to say so. Praise God that we have the truth, that we can share the life and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Declare, David says, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous work among all peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be held in awe above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. What was David saying there? He was saying all the gods of the Philistines, all the gods of the Egyptians, all the gods the people are worshiping are nothing. There are no gods. They are all figments of man's imagination. They're all tooled idols by man. There's nothing there. There is only one true God. When people of other religions pray, they're not praying to anything because there's no God there. There's only one true God and one way to the one true God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the maker of heavens, the heavens and the earth. Praise God for who he is, and he's worthy of our worship. So David goes on to say, verse 27, splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. David also said, the fullness of joy is in the presence of the Lord. We need to seek his presence. That's what he said in verse 11. Seek his presence continually. We can walk with God. Isn't that an awesome thing? You know, the recession is not going to be able to touch that. Or Wall Street. If we lose our 401k, I don't have a 401k, but if you got a 401k and you lose that, that cannot hinder your walk with God one iota. When I was in Burundi, not one person in Burundi came up and asked me how the stock market was doing in America. Not one of them were concerned about Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. But they were rejoicing in the Lord. Having nothing, they were full of joy in Jesus. It's a reality check. Verse 28. So David then calls the people to ascribe to the Lord, O clans of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name, and bring an offering and come before him. What is the offering that we can bring today? What is the only offering left for us? Praise. Hebrews chapter 13, we bring an offering of praise and thanksgiving to him. And you know, brothers and sisters, when we come to church fellowship and we come to praise and worship God, we need to give him our best. Because that's the offering we present before the Lord, our best. Thinking of the songs that we're singing. And by the way, you know, I'll mention this again, but we talk about this a lot. Christian fellowship on Sundays is not a time to get, it's a time to give. It is a worship service. Everything we do when we come together is worshiping God. We come together, we worship him with our songs. We worship him with our tithes and offerings. We worship him with our attentiveness to his word. Everything we do is worship. It's a time to give, not to get. When people tell me, they say, I'm not getting anything out of church, that tips me off that they got the wrong attitude with going to church. Because church, coming to church and coming into God's presence is not a time for me to get anything. It's a time for me to give God praise for who he is. Then in giving, he gives to us. But that's not my motivation for coming. We get strengthened. We get encouraged. We get direction when we come to worship him. But our motivation to come is to give him all that he's due. Amen? That's when we experience life. So that's what David was saying. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Verse 30. Tremble before him, all the earth. Yes, the world is established. It will never be moved. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Can we say that coming into 2009? Is the Lord still reigning? Absolutely. Absolutely. He never changes, and he's going to fulfill his plan and purpose. We can have confidence in him. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Some of the things that we go through, we say, God, where are you? But we've got to know he is good. Another thing we say here a lot is that as Christians, we cannot anchor our faith in what God does. Because we can't understand why he does what he does. It doesn't make sense to us. But we anchor our faith in who he is. We can know who he is, and he is good. and He is love, and He is kind, and He is just, and this is His nature. And we anchor our faith in who He is. We don't have to understand why He does what He does and why he doesn't do what He doesn't do. We don't have to understand that. We'll never be able to understand why God does what He does, because as high as the heavens are above the earth, so different are His ways and our ways. My ways are not your ways, says the Lord. So we're not going to be able to understand Him, but we can know Him. He is good. Give thanks to Him, for He is good, and His steadfast love endures forever. What a great God we serve. That's the strength that we have. Now, as we prepare our hearts for communion, David goes on to say in verse 35, "Save us, O God, of our salvation. Save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather and deliver us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to Your holy name and glory in Your praise." The salvation, the eternal salvation that David was talking about, we've experienced here in Jesus Christ our Lord. And we want to give Him praise for that right now, because that is everything to us. So as our brothers prepare the communion elements, I'd like us just to be in a worshipful frame of mind right now and recount what God has done and prepare our hearts to thank Him for the salvation that we have and to examine ourselves. It's good to examine our hearts. If there's any sin areas in our life, ask God to forgive you. Pray for His grace to break the hold of that sin in your life. If there's anyone you haven't forgiven or there's a broken relationship in that way, choose to forgive. As the Lord has forgiven us, so we must also forgive. And let's just spend time examining our hearts so we can worship God as we receive communion together. Our ransom, O God. Lord Jesus, we thank You and praise You for all that You've accomplished for us. Because on the cross You bore the wrath of God and You became the propitiation of our sins, taking the punishment that we deserve that we might have forgiveness and life. Oh God, thank You for that. And Lord, as we hold within our hands the bread and the cup today, we join in this communion time with brothers and sisters worldwide. We remember again all that You've done for us. For Lord, we remember that on the night that You were betrayed, You took bread, and when You had given thanks, You gave it to Your disciples and said, "Take this and eat of it, all of you. This is My body given for you. As often as you do this in remembrance of Me." And Lord, we hold within our hands the bread this morning. We know that it represents the fact that You are the bread of life. You said, "Anyone who eats of You will never hunger again." And certainly we have come to know that. Oh God, thank You for the body that was so given for us. Your body, Lord Jesus, that was bruised and whipped and scourged for our sins. We thank You, oh God. And as we partake of this bread, as You've laid down Your life for us, we commit to lay down our lives for one another. Thank You for Your covenant with us. And we partake with grateful hearts today. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen. Let's partake together. And Lord, we remember also that on that same night, You took the cup. And when You had given thanks, You gave it to Your disciples and said, "Take this and drink of it, all of you. This is the cup of the new covenant in My blood, which is shed for the sins of many. As often as you do this in remembrance of Me." And today again, Lord, take the cup and all that it represents, the blood of Jesus Christ. You said, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin." And Lord, You were the perfect sacrifice given for us once and for all, oh God, that You might bring us to Yourself. So we thank You for this. We partake of this cup with glad and generous and grateful hearts this morning, Lord. Thank You for Your blood that continues to cleanse us from all sin and gives us right standing with You. We thank You for this now, Lord. We partake with grateful hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's do that. Praise You, Lord. Amen.